continue the series of lessons, Rock of Ages. That is Jesus the Christ. The last two lessons, this would be the fifth lesson in the series. The last two lessons look on the subject that the Bible mentioned, referring to Jesus Christ as the smitten rock. That is the rock that was beaten, hit physically, so to speak, chastised. In part of that lesson, last week we pointed out that Calvary's cross, the cross on which Jesus Christ was crucified at Mount Calvary, that cross represents the worst of the worst. That is what the cross meant in Jesus' time. Anywhere you saw a cross then, it was saying, without verbalizing it, that the person who hung there is the worst you can find in society. When you look on the cross and saw a person in the time of Christ, it was saying that that person is the baddest of the bad in society. In Christ's time, when you look on the cross and saw a man there, the message that person hanging there would have given was that you are looking on a person who was hopelessly sinful. So Jesus Christ was never committed any sin, any wrong. When he hung there, that's the message that passers-by would have had. Because that is what the cross of Jesus Christ represents. Hence, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. What it says?
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Christ has done what? Redeem us from the curse of the law.
Being made a curse for us.
He was our curse. What does that mean? You know, not only last week, but the brother read it this week, that Jesus Christ was made to be sin for us. That passage is saying the same thing. What that sentence says? Being
made a curse.
A curse for us, that means our curse from God was placed upon Jesus Christ. In fact, isn't this what they're supposed to be celebrating now? Not this time of the year they celebrate the crucifixion of Christ. Supposed to. So they say. Christ was made a curse for us. Read on.
For it is written.
It is written.
Cursed is everyone.
Cursed is everyone
that hangeth on a tree.
You see, so that's the message. When you pass and see a person in the time of Christ, before and after, because crucifixion was really borrowed or adopted by the Romans from Carthage in North Africa. That's where the Roman borrowed or got the concept of punishing wrongdoers that were just wrongdoers. And when you saw the person on that cross, he was telling you that that person is cursed. But Jesus Christ was not bad. Christ was perfect. But our badness placed Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. So Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6, quick. There's much to cover in this lesson. May I just drop? This is the fifth lesson. There are at least two or three more lessons partially prepared. But next week, hopefully, I'll take a break. We hope to look at another important lesson next week. May I? I was about to remind us to be mindful of certain sick brothers and sisters who might not be members of the congregation. One of them is Brother Clough, who used to preach at Delano Avenue. And in that, I wanted to just drop along that we do get sick in this life. Every one of us, sometime or the other. Wait, it's not that we want to be sick or that we like to be sick. We don't want to be sick. But we do get sick. But here is the point. You may say, and then Brother Mitchell had a run. No. So get back on the lesson. What I wanted to point out is that there is a lesson coming up. It might be a Sunday night or Sunday morning. That one of the problems Christians have is accepting the will of God. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? There are a lot of things that happen to us in this life that make us think, but if I'm a child of God, and if God is working for me, why make it happen to me? That's where we have a problem. There are a lot of things that happen to us in this life that we wonder, why me? And God has all the power. So a lot of times, And there are some terrible things that God permits. He didn't initiate them, plan them. But He permits them. We have a lot of problem with that. So there will be a lesson coming up that one of the areas we need strength and understanding on is learning to accept the will of God. Can we get back now to the lesson? Yes. So as I said, that Isaiah 53, we are talking about the hopelessly sinful, where we have just read Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, on Jesus Christ, in Isaiah 53, Verse 6. Let us hear the passage.
All we like sheep have gone astray.
All we like sheep have gone astray.
We have turned everyone to his own way.
We have turned everyone to his own way.
And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Laid, and I'm going to, on him. The emphasis here is the on. Laid on him the iniquity of us all. Run now to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Let us hear it.
For he hath made him to be sin for us.
God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. I cannot overemphasize and beg you not to read into this text what it is not saying. The passage is not saying that God made Jesus Christ to commit sin. It's not saying that, because that is not the case. The passage is not saying that God made Jesus Christ to be a sinner for us. It's not saying that, because Jesus Christ was not a sinner. God made Jesus Christ to be sin. And what it means is that the Almighty God placed our sin on Jesus Christ. God made him to be sin
for us.
For us. Read on.
Who knew
no sin?
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
That we might be made
the righteousness of God in him.
The righteousness of God
in him.
In, I capitalize this into, in him. Are we all there? So notice, God laid on him our sin. But the Almighty God's love, grace, and mercy provided that we get righteousness in him on whom our sin was laid. Now, there is no way under God high heaven that man's sins can be dealt with except that the Almighty God placed it on Jesus Christ. Calvary's cross is about Jesus Christ bearing our sin in his body. And there is no way any man or woman can ever get forgiveness of sin unless you're paying it. Where? In him. Where? No way you can ever obtain forgiveness. Mr. Mitchell, you know I pray and fast and I beg for forgiveness. May I? You pray and fast for the next 1,000 years, and when you finish praying and fasting in the sight of God, you are still a sinner. Did you get me? Because mere praying and fasting, if you have not gotten where? If you have not gotten here, merely praying and fasting is of no benefit to you or me. You must first get where? In Jesus Christ. Are we there? Are we there? At Calvary, we're going to take a few more minutes look and the business of in Christ in a few minutes. But let me just drop this in. At Calvary, Jesus Christ bears the full force of God's holiness. The full force of God's justice and judgment. The full force of God's wrath and vexation for sin. At Calvary, Jesus Christ bear the full force of that in our place. At Calvary, Jesus Christ was truly and dreadfully smitten. Brother Mitchell, what you say the word smitten mean? Well, it is the past participle of smite. Smite mean to hit, to strike. Smitten. Christ was struck. He was beaten. How that happened? Our sin placed on him. May I? Jesus Christ didn't die a nice death. You know, most of us would like to die in peace. Huh? Yes. The electric chair was not available then. Where in few seconds the electric juice, the power, fry out your body. That was not in existence. In Christ's time they had beheading. They just cut off your head. But that was not God's will. Because that is such a quick death. Why Christ could not die by beheading? Because before the foundation of the world, the Almighty God wills it that Jesus Christ, none of his bone, help me here, should be broken. You get it? So this is why beheading did not defeat the demand of God's justice. Jesus Christ was dying for hours. That's what in our, we are civilized, we call it torture. When you just let a person suffer and go through hell therein, and suffer and suffer. That's the death that Jesus Christ died for our sin. At Calvary, Christ was truly smitten, beaten, chastised wickedly for our sin. Are we there? Ladies and gentlemen, that represents the wrath, the justice, and the holiness of God. But in fact, listen to the Bible. Listen to the Bible. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and verse 2. Let us hear that passage.
For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Somebody didn't hear that. I have been here telling you that at Calvary, Jesus Christ was truly and dreadfully fully smitten, beaten, chastised. Not for 1 hour. Not even for 2 hours. For hours, he was out there little by little. You see, the sword was pushed in his side, his hand. So as the blood spilled from his body, it was his life leaving his body little by little. That is punishment. You are thirsty, you are feeling pain, you can't move. That's why he has left that. The communion be celebrated weekly. Weekly. That's why the communion and the Christian reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hence, the passage the brother is reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In fact, let me hear verse 2.
For I determine not to know anything among
not
you.
Not to know anything
among you.
Among you.
Save Jesus Christ.
Only Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. Everybody gets that? What that was telling us, that is the focal thing that God wants us ever. Not just on a Sunday. Not just in Easter. But all the time for us to be mindful of the price that was paid for our sin. Then, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and the way he died. Then, in verse 5, listening in verse 5.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men.
Wait. If men were focusing on Jesus Christ. Wait. You could never have a Baptist church. A Methodist church. A Roman church. You could never have these. You didn't hear the pastor. In verse 2, he said, Paul is saying, why I'm writing God's revealed, inspired word to you the way I do, is that I know God wants this, and I want it, that you focus on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucify. Among the things that does, it reminds us of the love of God for us. Amen. Then in verse 5,
that your faith should not stand.
He said, when you focus on Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ is your focus, when you meditate on the price he paid for our sins, watch here now. Paul and Apollos and Cephas. These were the man-made name by which they were dividing themselves with. Cannot come in. That your faith should not stand
in the wisdom of men.
In the wisdom of
men.
Men.
But in the power of God.
But in the power of God. You see, in a few minutes I'll be showing you that the power of God there is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's right. So here we have a passage emphasizing that we focus on Jesus' crucifixion. But here is another one found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. Let us hear that one, brother. 1 Corinthians.
For the Jews require a sign.
The Jews require a sign. Wait, take time with me now, brother. We are Russia going. That's right. You want a miracle? Everybody today wants miracle. We have news for you. God will never give you a miracle. Amen. Not that God is not working today, but He's working providentially,
Amen.
Not miraculously.
Amen.
When the Bible says for the Jews require a sign, it means they are looking for miracle. And we saw this in them in the time when Christ was among them. Notice here. The Jews require a what, brother?
A sign.
The Greeks
seek after wisdom.
They are the intellectuals. They want knowledge, wisdom. Read.
But we
will take time now. Brother Jonathan, I like this we. You know who that is, brother? The Christian.
Amen.
You see, we don't take the root of the Jews wanting miracle. Because we know God is not going to work any miracle today. Why? All that He wants us to know is in His, the gospel.
Amen.
So we are not seeking miracles because we know He's still working for us providentially. The Greeks, they feel that once you have wisdom, you have everything. We know differently. So we, the Christian, we preach
Christ crucified.
Christ, you see, we come back to Christ crucified. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Read.
Unto the Jews a stumbling block.
When you preach Christ's crucifixion, to some people it is a stumbling block. Read, no brother.
And unto the Greeks, foolishness.
To others, when you talk about, and right now, you tell some men about Christ's crucifixion, and they laugh and say, well, what's the big thing? You preach Christ crucified to some people, it is foolishness. Read.
But unto them which are called.
Read, you know who that is, Jonathan? That's the Christian.
Amen.
The same way. Unto them which are called. Wait. I have a question for you. Are you called? Through this message, the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, is calling you to salvation today. Wait, not tomorrow. This business about, I'll think about it. When God gives you a chance, wait, when God comes within your circle by opening your eyes, is truth. It is time for decision. That's right. You are at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22 through 24. What verse are you, dear now?
24.
What you just read a while ago, brother?
But unto them which are called.
Unto them which are called.
Both Jews and Greeks. Christ, the power of God.
Wait, Brother Jonathan, that means, you know, that Jesus Christ crucified is God's power. That's what that means. Christ, because it is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that the Almighty God is going to demonstrate His great love and His power to deal with the problem of sin. So read that again.
But unto them which are called.
Unto them which are called. That's the Christian.
Both Jews and Greeks.
These Jews are Greek.
Christ the power of God.
Jesus Christ is God's power.
And the wisdom of God.
And He's the wisdom of God. Huh?
Because the foolishness of...
Wait, stop there. No, stop there, brother. Run to Romans chapter 1, verse 16.
For I am not ashamed...
I am not ashamed.
of the gospel of Christ.
Uh-huh.
For it is the power of God unto salvation.
Wait. Brother Jonathan, you have just read that the gospel is Christ's power to salvation. Eh? That is the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, it is the burial, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here we come right back to Jesus' crucifixion. Mr. Mitchell, what did you say the gospel? Yes, these are the facts of the gospel. That Christ died for our sin, that he was buried, and that he's resurrected. Where do you find that, Brother Mitchell? 1 Corinthians chapter what? Is it 16? No? Verse 1 through around verse 2 or 3? That's right. 15 or 16, whichever. 15, that's right. So here, Christ is God's power. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That is, the brothers just read it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the gospel of Christ
is the power.
Is God's power unto salvation. Are we there? God's power. The crucifixion of Christ. On Jesus Christ at Calvary, our sin was laid on Christ at Calvary. But now, in Jesus Christ, on Jesus Christ at Calvary, our sin was laid. But now, in Jesus Christ, your sins can be removed in Jesus Christ. Are we all there? Ladies and gentlemen, in this same Jesus Christ, you can now find forgiveness. You can now find shelter. You can now find safety. In Jesus Christ, and that is, you can now find forgiveness, shelter, and safety from the wrath and the vexation of God. Are we there? But you must get in Jesus Christ. Can I spend a few more minutes on the in Christ? The in Christ. And this is especially for our visiting friend, but it is also for Christians to understand. Wait, first. In Christ describes a relationship. Say it again, Mr. Mitchell. In Christ describes a relationship. A relationship that is imperative for salvation. That is, you cannot have God's forgiveness outside of that relationship which is in Christ. It is a must. What should be going through your mind now is, what does it mean, Mr. Mitchell? And how do I get in Christ? How does one get in Christ? That is an intelligent question. The Bible talks about that in Christ a lot. And this is why I felt that it would not be wise just to pass over that. As I said, now, in Jesus Christ, sinner can find forgiveness. Sinner can find shelter. Sinner can find safety from the wrath of God, from the judgment of God, from the vexation of God against sin in Christ. And that's only where it is available. First passage is Romans. And these are just a few of the passages. Romans 6 verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3.
Know ye not?
Don't you know
that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Take time with me, brother. Okay, let me leave that. Well, let me spell it out better. That was in him. And I may leave you to wonder what him. Okay. In Christ. Okay, let us hear it now, brother.
Know ye not?
You are reading from Romans chapter
6
and verse 3.
Yes.
Don't you know
that so many
of... Wait. This means you are to know this. You are to know this. What is it that you are to know?
That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ...
Ladies and gentlemen, you see, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. What happened?
Were baptized into his death?
Brother Jonathan, you notice we get into two things here? We get into Jesus Christ and we get into his death. Christians and visiting beloved friends, why do you need to get in Christ's death? Because that's where his blood was shed.
Amen.
Baptism, true baptism, Bible baptism, is the only process by which in God's sight you get there. In Christ's death to benefit from his redeeming blood. Don't you know? Meaning, you should know this. That's why I'm sharing it with you. In effect, that's what Paul is implying. Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized, we're
into Jesus Christ.
You see that in Christ, into Jesus Christ? What happened when we baptized into Jesus Christ?
We're baptized into his death.
We baptized into Jesus' death. Are we all there? Let us hear some more about this in Christ, into Christ. That was Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. In fact, brother, let us hear that passage in 2 Corinthians. 2 Cor.
Therefore, if any...
5 and I said 17?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
uh-huh,
he is a new creature.
Wait. This has a lot of implications. May I? If any man be where?
In Christ.
Implying if you are not in Christ, you are still the old man of sin. You all get it? Notice the condition. If you are in Christ, that's where you become spiritually new in God's sight. Why? Because by being baptized into Christ, you get into his death and you were able to benefit from his blood. So here is it now. If any man be where?
In Christ.
I would like us to know how many times this business of in Christ keeps coming up. If any man be in Christ,
he is a new creature.
He is a new creature.
All things are passed away.
The old things, dear brother, include the old man of sinfulness and ungodliness. You give Jesus Christ a chance to wash away, put that in the past. When you respond to him in obedience through faith, repentance and baptism. The brother was reading from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Step down, brother, to verse 21. Let us hear it.
For he hath made him to be sin for us.
God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us.
Who knew no sin.
Who did not know any sin.
That we might be made the right.
Watch here. That we might be made the righteousness
of God.
Of God.
In him.
Where?
In him.
Where do we become God's righteousness?
In him.
And that's the only place. You cannot be made righteous if you are not in Christ. Are we there? Verse 21 finish?
Yes.
Now turn to Romans again. Chapter 8 and verse 1.
Therefore, there's now no condemnation.
When?
No. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ.
Brother,
Jesus.
Wait. You see the implication? What about them who are not in Christ? They are still under God's condemnation. Everybody gets it? No condemnation is to be found one place. In Christ. When you are not in Christ, it means you are still under condemnation from God. Now, when? Now. There is no condemnation to the person, man, woman, boy, girl, who is where? In Christ.
Who walk not after the flesh.
Who do not live according to the world, the sensual, the worldly way of life. But, the sinful way of life.
But after the Spirit.
But who live by the dictate of the Spirit, which is the gospel of Christ. No condemnation to it. But that is found only in Christ. So be careful how you are going through life and feel good about yourself, feeling you and God sleep together every night. And you do not even know how to get in Him. You see, we have just read Romans chapter 6, verse 3, that tells us how to get there through baptism. But now, listen, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27.
For ye are all the children of God.
You are all the children of God.
By faith in Christ Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, look here now. I just look at my time and discover that, oh my God, time can run. Well, there's so much to be said on this lesson, but give me another 5 or 10 minutes and the lesson will be yours. We are at the passage. Well, first, we are looking on this important relationship in Christ. Any good thing that you and the Almighty God are going to have now, it has to take place there.
Amen.
It is this describe a healthy spiritual relationship. Now, we have just read that the old person is still there if you do not get in Christ through baptism. Huh? But the brother is now at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. And for that, Okay. Verse 26. We are children of God. We are
by faith in Christ Jesus.
Everybody gets that? But somebody say, there it is, Mr. Mitchell. It says by faith. You see, Mr. Mitchell, all I need to do is to have faith. Nowhere in that verse or in the whole chapter or in the whole Bible teaches that.
Amen.
Now, don't let that. You interrupt Paul while he was still speaking. Brother Mitchell, I don't interrupt him. Are you interrupting him? Well, okay. I'm going to let him speak straight. No. Notice. Verse 26 tells us we are the children of God. That's verse 26. Watch here now. Verse 27 going to tell you how to get there. You see, this tells you, verse 26.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Where are we the children of God?
In Christ.
Where are we the children of God?
In Christ.
Everybody gets that? In Jesus Christ. Now, faith doesn't put you there. Because from verse 26, you have faith. We are the children of God by faith. If faith alone gets you there, he wouldn't need to be talking still. But the man is still speaking. Verse 27.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
You see, that piece of information called for silence. That's right. Let me hear it again, brother.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
How do you get into Christ?
Baptism.
Baptized. That's the only way. I don't have time today to talk about. I said it briefly and I've said it many times over the years here. Remember, when you have faith, faith is unto, which means you are going in the direction of. When you repent, repentance is also unto, which means you are heading in the right direction. When you confess your faith in Christ, that is also unto, which means you are on your way to. The only act of obedience that gets you in Christ is baptism. And the Bible just tells us that's where we are the children of God. The Bible tells you by getting into Christ, you get into Jesus' death. That's how you benefit from Christ's blood. You can pray and fast. I can pray and fast from now until thy kingdom come. That doesn't help. It doesn't bring forgiveness unless you get in Christ. When you get in Christ, you benefit from his blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 6 verse 3 tells you that to get into his death, that is where his blood was shed, you have to be baptized. You know the Bible is plain and simple. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, that is the great relationship. We are going to stop here because Yes. Let us stop here. There's so much to share with you on the subject of Jesus Christ. Do you know that we are still on Christ, the smitten stone? We are still on the fact that Christ was smitten at Calvary. On the cross, Jesus Christ was taking the chastisement, the beating, the wheel for our sin. And over the past 15 or so minutes, I'm showing you that to benefit from Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, you must get in Christ. That is a relationship that the Almighty God has provided for us to benefit from what Christ has done for us. May I over the next week or two or three, we'll be having at least two funerals here. One of the person was up in 80 plus. The other person was not that advanced in age. I would say relatively young. But death doesn't respect age. May I? It does not even respect health. Because a lot of times we think we are healthy, and big bram, we are gone. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that if you are here today and you are not a child of God, get in Christ before it is too late. The Almighty God has a plan. We refer to it as God's plan of salvation. We do not get saved by joining up with the church of my choice. Can I just preach another sermon now? Yes. Truly, we do not. You know, people are misled religiously. Amen. We do not get saved by you look for the church of your choice and I look for the church of my choice. That's foolishness. Amen. God, the intelligent, wise God, has a plan by which all of us must be saved. God's way or no way. In fact, if you're here today as a man or woman and you are curious about anything I said, are interested, I'd be glad to, at your convenience, sit with you, answer whatever question you have, make clarification on anything that is not fully understood. And that is, you want me to stop by your house to sit and talk to you. You want to come by the church office when it's convenient for you. And we sit and talk. You want us to find a seat somewhere out there at the roadside and we sit at wherever. This is our telephone number. Anything. When I point out that the one way, do you have faith in God? That's great. But it says, the Bible tells us faith without works is dead. Faith must produce the works of obedience, repentance. Repentance only means that you have made a decision to stop doing wrong. But how do you get rid of the sins that accumulate from the wrong you have done all these past years? Praying doesn't deal with that. You need the blood of Christ, and that's why you have to get in Christ through baptism. Do you confess that you believe in Christ? You are not ashamed of Him? That is unto. That means you are in the right direction, but you still don't reach where you have to reach. Where you need to reach is in Christ. Baptism is the only act of obedience that places you there. I would like to, you know, part of this lesson for today is where I wanted, look, hold your invitation, brother, I'm coming. I want to share with you the fact that in Jesus Christ we have refuge and shelter. And I was going to use the city of refuge to illustrate. You have to get in the city of refuge. And you have to turn there. Sorry. Stay there. You have to stay there. So get in Christ. Through faith, repentance, and baptism. It is at that time, when you get in Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, it is at that time the Almighty God deals with all of your past sins. Not before. Matters not how you pray, fast, and what? How you join up church? Until you meet God's condition. I think we have a track here, a booklet or something that tells you there is a difference between meeting the condition to be a church member and meeting the condition for God's forgiveness. There is a difference. Don't mix them up. We are going to stand right now and sing an invitation song. It is the song.